Hello, 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 and top of the morning to you. Hello. Are you excited today? I hope you are. And you know what? I'm excited with you. Yes, I am, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And this is the day that God has made. And I promise you, I choose. See, that's a choice. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Y'all know this is your girl, Fabulous Frida, and thank you for tuning in to WDGS on your podcast station. I want to share with you today three things that I believe, because I have witnessed many people who have prayed and didn't get an answer. I have witnessed people who desired and wanted something. They prayed for it. They asked God for it, and they did not get an answer. With this, I want to share with you what may create you not getting the answer or the answer you desire. Sometimes we may get an answer, but it may not be what we desire. And so there are some prerequisites. Oh, God, help me today. Let me repeat that. There are some prerequisites and some fundamental scriptural teaching that needs to perhaps be activated in your life in order for your prayers to be answered. You don't hear me now. Do you want your prayers answered? Let me share with you three. Now, it's several other fundamental scriptures that can also collaborate or coincide why your prayers are not being answered. But these are the three that the Holy Spirit revealed to me. And if you want your prayers answered, the thing you'll have to make a choice. Listen, a choice. To begin to activate and infiltrate what you should or should not do by choice to get your prayers answered. And if you know like I know, we're living in some perilous times and we're living in the dispensation of sorrow. Well, I hope somebody grabbed that. And there's nothing that we can do to alternate the prophetic prophecy of the scripture. See, that's what prophecy means. It's spoken to come to pass. But however, I do believe that we can execute and exercise implementing some things in our everyday life that would make our lives more embraceable. That what I mean by that, we won't feel the repercussions of what's going on in the world as a whole. In the world as a whole, in these dispensations of sorrow and perilous times, you won't feel the impact if you activate doing what the scripture encourages us to do, no matter what is going on in the world, no matter what's going on in our everyday lives, whether we're being abased or whether we're being abound. If you want your prayers to be answered, then these are the prerequisites. Number one, I'm gonna give you three. Number one, and it's taken from John chapter 15, verse 4 through 11. And what it says is that if you abide in me and I abide in you, you shall ask whatsoever you will. Did y'all get that? Let me repeat that. That's John 15 and verse 4 through 14. And I'm going to read it again. And this time, well, I'm going to read it because I just quoted it from my memory. But now I'm going to read it to you. So that way you can have a direct connection with what the words are saying. See, I'm a word person, and words are very powerful. And not just to speak them, but to also hear them and allow them to saturate penetrate, download, to upload in your spirit. And what it says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. See, we can't do nothing of our own and of ourselves. The Bible says, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abide in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, oh God, I hope somebody grab that, ye can do nothing. And this is why when I hear people boast and brag and try to put other folks on a pedestal, I just be sitting there looking and thinking, well, God, you know what? They giving glory to the wrong somebody, because that person could not do anything without you. We cannot do anything. And this is why I'm giving you reference points why sometimes people's prayers are not answered. Sometimes I believe they're not answered because we don't follow the script of executing or exercising what the scripture tells us. You got to be able to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the only way you can bring forth much fruit is that you need to acknowledge you cannot do anything, nothing without God. At verse 6, it says, if any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse number 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words, so you got to get that, abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now you got the answer why some people can pray and they can get up and God will prevail. And some people can pray and then nothing never happens. You get this now. Some people can pray and God will prevail to manifest. But then some people can pray. And let me tell you something. And if you're not abiding in God and God is not abiding in you, and you pray and God answers your prayer, that's a privilege, baby. When I say a privilege, it's a privilege. And if you find yourself receiving that privilege, you should be one of them people to pour back and sow back into the kingdom. Because it's definitely not of your works. I'm just saying. If you're not abiding in God and God not abiding in you, but let me help you. Let me help you, because you know what? Some people may think that they are abiding in God. But this is the thing. When you abide in God, abide, if the word means to kind of stay there, to dwell there, to live there. First off, it means accept. You got to accept God. And then you got to act in accordance with God's rules, decisions, or recommendations. If you able to abide, that means you able to tolerate. You able to put up with something. You're able to live with something. You're able to deal with something. And this something is the power of God. The word abide is used so many times in the Bible. The first 10 verses of John, the same chapter I'm reading to you in John chapter 15, when you look at the Greek root of the word, you'll discover the definition of abide means to dwell. It means to remain. It means to be present. It means to be held and kept at that address. I'm just saying, at that posture, at that place, when you abide. And then this is what God has done. When you abide in him, oh God, help me today. He made a promise to you. He said, he'll answer your prayer. He said, you can ask whatsoever you will. You can speak to the storm and say, be still. But see, everybody don't have that power and ability because everybody don't abide in God and God don't abide in them. That's the key thing to your prayers being answered. It's a if a man, meaning mankind, not a man, male, mankind, abide in him, then and he abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and I will. I shall. That's the word. It says, and it shall be done unto you. Wherein is my Father glorified? Hello. That ye hear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved you, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be filled. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And no greater love hath no man than this, that they will lay down their life for their friends. And Jesus went on to say, and because you are my friend, if you do whatsoever I command you to do. And that's the thing. When even in a friend, it's about keeping your word. What you say you would do, that you do. This is what Jesus was saying. If I'm your friend, then the things I'm sharing with you to make things better, to make your relationship better, not just with me, but with God, you will abide and you will do these things that even God commanded you. So love becomes the greatest out of all things. But you can never reach love. See, this is why some people may not value you the way you value them, because they haven't learned how to even love you. And this is why I don't fall out with folks and I love everybody, because God had to teach me how to love. And when you learn how to love, then love, what love does, it does not seek it its own way. Love will push past people faults and people problems and people positions to just love. But if you want your prayers answered, it's important that you understand, abide in me and I abide in you. And then it says you can ask whatsoever you will. Now, the next scripture I want to go to is in the book of James. I want you to turn to James or pull it up on your Google, on your cell phone. James chapter 3. And the reason I want you to put your eyes on these scriptures, because don't just come back and read them. I want you to connect with them along with me, because a lot of people are praying and their prayers are not being answered. And you need to understand from the unadulterated logos, that means the truth, uncut, uncensored of the word of God, what it says to help get your prayers answered. So the second one is asking. James chapter 4 and verse 3. Chapter 4 and verse 3. It say, you ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Now we got to go to the word amiss. What does amiss mean? When you're asking something amiss, that means you're asking for something that's not the right thing to ask for. Inappropriate. You don't know what you're asking for. You're not sure. You're not even certain. And I got this thing about this scripture when God gave me the revelation behind it, asking amiss. It's just like if you have a child. I give this example. and your child constantly come to you, say, for Christmas, and say, I want a bicycle. Then they come back and say, no, I want a watch. And then they say, no, I just want some sneakers. And then they say, oh, well, scratch that. I really want this book. I really want an outfit. You get to a place where you don't know what to do because they don't know what to ask for. And they keep changing up and changing their mind. And I believe when it comes to us sending up prayers to God, if we don't know what to ask for, first and foremost, you should never ask God for anything unrighteous, inappropriate, and not quite right. When you are out of the place and out of the will of God. Now, if you asking God to bless you to keep your lights on and your rent paid, okay. But if that's a good thing. But if you asking God for your lust, if you asking God to let somebody leave their wife or their spouse and come to you, then that's asking amiss. Oh, God, help me today. This is why you must be careful, even when you thinking it's the right thing to do. You know it's the wrong thing. I say thinking is the right. Anybody in their right mind should know it's not the right thing to do to ask God to give you somebody husband that's already married. I'm just saying, if you think he meant for you, then instead of praying for God to send you somebody already attached, oh God, help me today, ask God to send you somebody single that makes you feel just as worthy or important with equal or better abilities. That's all. Listen, y'all, we serve a powerful God. And I think it's one of the most selfish and self-centered things that anybody can do is ask God to take something from somebody that he's blessed them to have. Even if they join themselves together, Bible said that a marriage is honorable. You never pray for somebody to leave their spouse and come to you. That's wicked. I'm just saying, for all y'all who don't know. And this is the thing. That's why if a person was in a relationship with somebody, I don't care if they was just dating them. I don't cross that line because to me, that means your soul and your spirit is already wrapped up in somebody else. And that's going to automatically have three people in this relationship, whether one is absent or not. That's why it's not good to lust. That's what the rest of it say, because he don't answer these prayers because you ask them consuming upon your lust. And the Bible says when a man look and think upon a woman, he's already lusting in his mind. And what you think about if a person is married? And I had to share that with somebody. I said, look, listen, do me a favor. Don't lust for me. Because this is the thing. When people are married, that's out of order. Listen, that will hinder your prayers. Oh, I know people don't want to receive it, but then that's up to you to believe it. Because this is the thing. You don't always have to receive what you believe, and you can believe what you don't receive. Oh, I hope somebody grabbed that. You believe in God, but you might not receive it. So you don't have to receive what I'm saying, but you can believe in the scripture. And when the scripture says clearly in James chapter 4 and verse 3, it's right there for you to read it. And when you ask amiss, that's what you're doing. You're asking for something that you shouldn't be asking for. And let me tell you something. That's how terribly dangerous it is. It even says when you wrongfully or inappropriately in a danger zone, it gives an example under the definition when you love someone amiss. Some people don't even know how to love you. They love you amiss, inappropriately. They don't know what they're doing. See, when you're not in accordance with the right order of God, then it's amiss. And some people may not never have defined that word. And that's why your prayers are not answered. That's not like asking for a light bill. When you asking God to give you somebody husband. Instead of, and I want to repeat, why don't you just say, well, God, bless me with someone equal or better in spirit. Because if you fell in love with somebody, Listen to me. You got to grab this. You fell in love with their spirit. And everybody got a spirit. So you don't have to just have somebody, husband, who already married. You can ask God to bless you with somebody. If that spirit appeals to you and you're attracted by it, just ask God to bless you with someone that's equal or better. I always say better, but some people say equal. And because I know somebody did that. They was dating this young lady and they was overtaken with her. But the young lady did not reciprocate. But this person end up marrying somebody with so much similarity that they said that they, well, that's what they said at their own mouth. There was so much in common. And this is how you can sometimes get in one relationship. And this is, it can be a catch-22 though. Because somehow, if you're not delivered, let me use that word, from that person that you lust for, just because you latch on to another person, if you don't really love them and you latched on to them because of only that, then guess what? You'll find yourself married to somebody and still lusting for the person that you really love. I'm just saying hello. So just make sure. See, that's a catch-22. When you pray, you want to be finished with that person. You want to not ask God for somebody, husband or somebody, wife. You want to make sure that God has delivered that, purged that person out of you. And then when you meet this new person, you just want the same type of spirit, which may have been loving and kind and decent and in order. That's what you ask God for. So, but just be careful. You don't attach yourself to somebody that's already attached. That you don't do things. And it's not just being attached to people. It could be stealing. Things that you lust for, you steal them. And then you'll ask God to help give you something. And he won't give it to you because you done stole from somebody. Oh, God, help me today. And then you did it because you lust for it. Now, number three, the last one, is 2 Chronicles. Y'all probably know that one. That's real good. 2 Chronicles. And Chronicles is in the Old Testament. The Old Testament. It's spelled Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Chapter 7. And verse 14. Chapter 7. And verse 14. We're talking about, I'm giving three ways for your prayers to be answered. 2 Chronicles, it says, if my people, now this scripture right here, you got to really dissect it, which are called by my name. If you are called by God, that means God has predestined you to be here. And he said, because he give you a free will choice once you get here, even though you predestined to come here. So the next thing you got to decide, if you want to humble yourself for God, pray, seek his face, and turn from your wicked ways. And it says, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive your sins and heal your land. That means God will answer your prayer. Now that's some diligence that it's gonna take in 2 Chronicles. It's some steps, it's some protocols. If you are on this earth, you are called. That's your predestined to be here. But number thing you gotta think about, number one is humble yourself. And when you humble yourself, it's not about other people. Listen, I humble myself all the time. And it's because I humble under the mighty hand of God. And so if God tells me, don't say nothing, leave that alone, don't talk back, don't come back, don't clap back, leave it alone. I learned to do that. That's humility. Humility is when you can bow out gracefully. Humility is not just about the people we encounter in our journey, but humility is me. Can you do what God instructs you to do? He's not talking about per se being humble to people, but being humble to him. If God say, well, you know what? I'm not going to send you here or send you there. Can you humble yourself, or do you go ahead of God and say, well, God, this is what I feel like doing. This is what I want to do. Because see, when you take on that personality, that means you're not humbling for God. So you got to ask yourself, can you humble yourself when you pray? When you're seeking God's face, can you turn from your wicked ways? Can you do that? And that's when God said he will hear from heaven. That's how your prayers can get answered. So those are the three ways that your prayers can be answered. Again, number one, abiding in him, for him to abide in you. Number two, when you pray and you ask God to grant you or give you something, you don't ask amiss of things that you know that the only reason you're asking because you're lusting. I'm just saying, hello. And number three, that when you pray, you're willing to humble yourself and seek his face and turn from acting wicked, speaking wicked, and doing wicked. I'm just saying, hello. And your wicked ways. Then God will hear from heaven. This is why, you know what, I'm a firm believer. There are a lot of people I will not and do not ask to pray for me, because I see those spirits in them. They ask things in prayer, but they ask amiss, not knowing what to ask for. They don't abide in God. They don't stay there. They don't let God dwell in them. And then they definitely don't humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. So you got to be careful who you even ask to pray for you. And then you wonder why sometimes people can pray and God give a breakthrough instantly. And then some people pray and don't nothing manifest. Well, it's probably because they're not aligning their lives, the ordinance of the commandment to walk in God, for God to make sure that they prayer prevail. You don't hear me now. They prayer prevail. And when a person prayer prevail, that means it's avail. When the Bible say that the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much, that means that God will allow your prayer to manifest. And until you see a manifestation, some people depend upon who the person is that's praying and what kind of life they live. Because you got some prayer blockers and you got some people that's haters, even in the midst of your prayer. But you must trust God. Learn to lean and depend on God. Follow the protocol. Follow the ordinance of the things that it takes for God to hear and answer your prayer. Because if you notice in those three scriptures, God's presence has to take place in your life when you're setting up these prayers. Amen. Amen. And on that note, may the blessings from heaven flow down into your lives, meet all of your needs, even the things your heart desires. And may you continue to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prosper. And until the next time, I love you all. I humbly appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in. God bless. Bye for now.